السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. We return for the second part of the second juz. We continue inshallah from verse 185. I ask for Allah's protection from shaitan. I begin in the name of Allah, who is most kind and most merciful. The month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion between right and wrong. So whoever of you cites the crescent on the first night of the month of Ramadan, he must observe Sawm. Sawm is fasting. Loud and clear, please. He must observe Sawm, fast that month, and whoever is ill or on a journey, the same number of days which one did not observe Sawm must be made up from other days. Allah intends for you ease, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. He wants that you must complete the same number of days, and that you must magnify Allah by saying Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Everybody? Allahu Akbar. Takbir. Come on, we can make fill the room with the sound. Takbir. That's better. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the most great for having guided you so that you may be grateful to Him. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing us the month of Ramadan to increase our scales, to increase the weight on our scales, to do good deeds, to benefit. We do dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to see Ramadan in health and happiness, so we can make the most of this Ramadan. Do the niyyah, refresh your niyyah, that this is going to be the best Ramadan I've ever had, inshallah. I'm going to work and strive for it. Prepare. The Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would prepare six months before Ramadan. Sisters, as we approach Ramadan, let's make the most of it, inshallah. Okay? And here we're being told that if you can't fast for different reasons, and we're all familiar with what's the most common reason that we don't fast? Period. Exactly. What? Oh, traveling. So what are we being instructed here? Miss those period days and that's it? No, fast afterwards. Okay? Verse 186. And when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning me, then answer them, I am indeed near to them by my knowledge. I respond to the invocations of the supplicant when he calls on me without any mediator or intercessor. Subhanallah. So none of this business that you need to go through somebody to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very clearly in verse 186, Allah ta'ala is telling us you don't need anyone. You don't need a mediator. You don't need to go to anyone. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be led aright. This was the practice of the, which faith is it a practice that they go to somebody to confess? The Christians, exactly. They confess to the priest, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this facility that we ask Him and we talk to Him direct. Connection is direct. Contact is direct. Subhanallah. Is that a privilege or is that not a privilege? It's excellent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it very clear that I listen to them. I respond to the invocations. What's the other word for invocations that we're all familiar with? Sorry? Dua. Good. It is made lawful for you to have sexual relations with your wives on the night of a song. Again, a big flexibility. That you're not fasting for the whole month, that you can't have sexual marital relationships with your wives. But yes, at night, you can. They are libas, i.e. body cover or screen or sakin. Enjoy the pleasure of living with them for you, and you are the same for them. You are the same for them. Allah knows that you used to deceive yourselves, so He turned to you, accepted your repentance and forgave you. So now have sexual relations with them and seek that which Allah has ordained for you, and eat and drink until the white thread of dawn appears to you distinct from the black thread. Then complete your psalm, your fast, till the nightfall, and do not have sexual relationships with them while you are in itikaf, and do not have marital relations whilst in itikaf. What is itikaf? For a sweet, please. Who can give me the definition of itikaf? Mm-hmm. Where is it? Okay. It's the seclusion in the mosque in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Okay. Usually 10 days can be more or less. Okay. And itikaf is confining oneself in a mosque for prayers. So no sexual relationships with them while you're in itikaf, confining oneself in a mosque for prayers, and invocations, leaving the worldly activities in the mosques. Sorry, leaving them behind. Someone is in the masjid for this. These are the limits set by Allah, so approach them not. First does Allah make clear His ayah, His signs. His ayah, His signs to mankind that they may become the pious. And eat up not one another's property unjustly. Sorry, before I go on, I just want to remind all of us that what sort of a wife am I? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described here that wives are libas. So just a question for those who have husbands at home. Am I a wife who is a comfort to her husband? Am I soft and cozy, or do I irritate him? Do I wind him up? Questions for ourselves. Am I clothing for him? Are we clothing for each other? Do we cover up each other's faults and flaws? We've all got bruises and blemishes, haven't we? Or do we expose one another's? Question. Think about it. And eat up not one another's property unjustly in any illegal way. And that we went into great depth, didn't we, when we did it in explanation, in tafsir. But here we have some ways, illegal ways of stealing, robbing, deceiving, nor give bribery to the rulers, judges, before presenting your cases, that you may knowingly eat up a part of the property of others sinfully. I feel if we just wrote this in big letters, in massive big calligraphy, and put it on the billboards in our hometowns, I think our countries will improve, don't you? Maybe they didn't realize it was an ayah of the Quran. Verse 189. They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the new moons. Say, these are signs to mark fixed periods of time for mankind. These are signs to mark fixed periods of time for mankind. Sorry. And for the pilgrimage. It is not al-bir that you enter the houses from the back, but al-bir is that you fear, is the quality of the one who fears Allah. To enter houses through their proper doors and fear Allah that you may be successful. And fight in the way of Allah that you fight. Sorry. And fight in the way of Allah those who fight you. So we're allowed to defend. We're not told to be idiots and just let people walk across, walk over us. But defense, yes. And fight in the way of Allah those who fight you, but transgress not the limits. Truly Allah likes not the transgressors. Question arises, we were meant to be the best of nations, but do we cross the limits now in our ways of life? And if we look around at weddings again, death, living, how do we behave? Do we stay within the limits or cross the limits? And kill them wherever you find them, and turn them out from where they have turned you out. And al-fitna is worse than killing. And fight not with them at Masjid al-Haram, the sanctuary of Makkah, unless they first fight you there. But if they attack you, then kill them. Such is the recompense of the disbelievers. But if they cease, then Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. and fight them until there is no more fitna, and no more fitna, and worship is for Allah alone. But if they cease, let there be no transgression except against the wrongdoers. The sacred month is for the sacred month. The sacred month is for the sacred month and for the prohibited things. There is the law of equality, qisas. Then whoever transgresses the prohibition against you, you transgress likewise against him. And fear Allah and know that Allah is with the pious. And spend in the cause of Allah. And do not throw yourselves into destruction by not spending your wealth in the cause of Allah. And do good truly. Allah loves the Muhsineen. We touched on this slightly yesterday. But Allah loves the Muhsineen. And spend in the cause of Allah. So what is this spending? What type of spending is this, sisters? What are we spending? Charity? Okay. So what are you spending? Money. What else are you going to spend? Time. Exactly. Time. Effort. Spending, coming to class if you find it really difficult. This is giving in the way of Allah. This is your spending in the way of Allah. This is your time. And these days, it's so easy to write out a check. It's so easy to use a plastic card. Plastic cards don't even give us the value of money, to be fair. I know for a fact I find it a lot easier to pay for something on a plastic card for petrol or groceries than you do with real cash. True? So if you are giving some transfer online, you're not misered, are you? It's easy. What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking for? It's your time and your effort. Are you giving that time and effort? You're willing to give it to something you love. Yes, anybody will enjoy sitting with somebody you love, your friend, your spouse, your child, your grandchild. That's easy, but do you do it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is spending. Jihad here of all kinds, it says. But jihad is a struggle, okay? Sadly to say, in 2017, all over the world today, it's been misinterpreted into an illegal term, into a bad word. And really, jihad means struggling. And a struggle for us as housewives, as mums of today, is to stick to our five pillars of Islam, to educate ourselves, to learn the true meaning of our Islam, of our deen, which is a beautiful deen, a peaceful religion. Islam means peace. Okay? Do not throw yourselves into destruction by not spending your wealth in the cause of Allah, and do good, truly Allah loves the Muhsineen. And perform properly all the ceremonies according to the ways of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Hajj and Umrah for Allah. But if you are prevented from completing them. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us some allowance, some flexibility. If there's any difficulties, anybody's got disease or ailment, or they've set off for Hajj and Umrah, but due to any reason they've become a stoppage, they've not been able to carry it out. Then look at all the different options. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it easy for us, subhanAllah. But if you are prevented from completing them, sacrifice a hadi, an animal, a sheep, a cow, or a camel, such as you can afford. Again, subhanAllah, so kind, so caring. It's not said that it's got to be this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that people will be of all ages, all calibres, all status, different statuses. And they're not, or varying degrees. They can't all afford the same, subhanAllah. Do what you can afford. And do not shave your heads until the hadi reaches a place of sacrifice. And whosoever of you is ill or has an ailment in his scalp, necessitating shaving, he must pay a fidya, a ransom of either observing psalm for 3 days or giving sadaqah, feeding 6 poor persons or offering sacrifice. Then if you are in safety, and whosoever performs the umrah in the month of Hajj before performing the Hajj, then make it Hajj, Tamattu and Al-Qiran. So these are the three types of Hajj, and these are two being mentioned here for those who go outside of Mecca for Hajj. So that includes us lot from abroad. Okay? وبحج التمتع للقران he must go to a hadi such as he can afford. Well, if he cannot afford it, he should observe Psalm 3 days during the Hajj and seven days after his return to his home, making 10 days in all. This is for him whose family is not present at Masjid al-Haram, i.e. is a non-resident of Makkah. And fear Allah much and know that Allah is severe in punishment. Again and again, fearing Allah and being grateful has been repeated several times and being patient. So here we have that one, fear Allah. Fearing Allah will give us what? Sister Saika? Will give us taqwa. The Hajj pilgrimage is in the well-known lunar months. What are lunar months? Lunar year, what is it? Goes with the? Excellent. The Hajj pilgrimage is in the well-known months, the 10th month, the 11th month, and the first 10 days of the 12th of the Islamic calendar. So it's 2 months and 10 days. So whosoever intends to perform Hajj therein by assuming ihram, then he should not have sexual relations with his wife, nor commit sin, nor dispute unjustly during the Hajj. And whatever good you do, be sure Allah knows it, and take a provision with you for the journey. But the best provision is the taqwa. Piety is the best thing. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're aware, then you will behave, won't you? So fear me, O man of understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes it with the fact that if you are people of understanding, you will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about it. How many degrees have I worked for? How many letters have I got after my name? BSc, MSc, PhD, etc., etc. But truly, have I ever reflected and understood the Quran and being a person of piety and taqwa and feared Allah so I know that things that Allah Ta'ala dislikes will not benefit me neither in the dunya nor the akhirah? Verse 198. There is no sin on you if you seek the bounty of your Lord during pilgrimage by trading. Then when you leave Arafah, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by glorifying his praises, prayers and invocations at Mashar al-Haram. And remember him by invoking Allah for all good, as he has guided you, and verily you were before of those who were astray. Then depart from the place whence all the people depart, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Truly Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a nutshell, just in a few ayahs, has given us the whole express package for Hajj, subhanAllah. So when you have accomplished your manasik, what is manasik? What is manasik? Good, the rites, good or the duties, excellent, yes, of Hajj, okay? When you have accomplished your manasik, it's the ihram, the tawaf of the Kaaba, the safa and marwa, the sa'i, the stay at Arafah on the 9th of Zulhijjah, Muzdalifa, Mina, the Rami, the stoning of the pillars in Mina, and slaughtering of the Hadi. All that in a nutshell is manasik. When you have accomplished your manasik, remember Allah as you remember your forefathers, or with a far more remembrance. But of mankind, there are some who say, our Lord, give us your bounties in this world, and for such there will be no portion in the hereafter. To reflect for 2 seconds, just make a dua in you. Close your eyes and make a dua for 2 seconds. And then open your eyes and just think, was that dua for the dunya or the akhirah? And sisters, that will give you a slight inclination of what is more important to you. Okay? This part, of the end part of verse 200, is giving the dua for those who find the dunya as their priority. That they are saying, our Lord, give us your bounties in this world. And then Allah Ta'ala saying, fine, They can have it in this world, but for them there will be nothing in the, everybody tell me, in the Akhirah. But for most of us, for some of them, most of us here, inshallah, look at what Allah Ta'ala is telling us in verse 201. And I'd like you to highlight this dua, please, everybody. And of them are some who say, everybody together, our Lord, everybody, our Lord, give us in this world that which is good, and in the hereafter that which is good, and save us from the torment of the fire. Can we have the Arabic for this favourite and popular dua, please, that we all recite when we go for Umrah or Hajj? Everybody together, inshallah. For them, there will be allotted a share for what they have earned, and Allah is swift at reckoning. And remember Allah during the appointed days, subhanAllah. But whosoever hastens to leave in 2 days, there is no sin on him. And whoever hastens stays on, sorry. And whoever hastens to leave in 2 days, there is no sin on him. And whoever stays on, there is no sin on him. If his aim is to do good and obey Allah, fear and know that you will surely be gathered unto him. Fear him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us rules and commands, but again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us flexibilities and allowances. If it can't be done, then you can do this alternative. Do you understand? Our deen is so moderate, so easy, so simple, if you want to abide by it. Don't make life difficult for yourselves when there's no need. Verse 204. And of mankind there is he whose speech may please you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this worldly life, and he calls Allah to witness. In this worldly life, and he calls Allah to witness as to that which is in his heart. So subhanAllah, he's calling you to something that he is finding dear to him. Yet he is the most quarrelsome of the opponents. And when he turns away from you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his effort in the land is to make mischief in it and to destroy the crops and the cattle, and Allah likes not mischief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear for those who are causing troubles. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, he is led by arrogance to more crime. So enough for him is hell, and worst indeed is that place to rest. And of mankind is he who would sell himself, seeking the pleasure of Allah. Seeking the pleasure of Allah. And Allah is full of kindness to his slaves. Allahu Akbar. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us some conclusive ayahs as we are approaching towards the end, inshallah, of this juz. O you who believe, enter perfectly in Islam by obeying all the rules and regulations of Islam and follow not the footsteps of Shaitan, verily he is to you a plain enemy. Highlight verse 208, which is a wonderful verse to perfect ourselves. For eating, we like perfect pizza. For food, we want a perfect menu. For Islam and deen, for perfection, we say they're a fundamentalist. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, if you're going to do it properly. No half-heartedness. Enter perfectly in Islam. Is that not enough for us to be abiding by Islam and its laws fully? What sort of percentage is Allah Ta'ala telling us to abide into, obey Islam? 110. Exactly. No ifs, no in-betweens, no ifs, no buts, but remain in it 100%. Concentrate 100%. If we remain on the outskirts, we're neither in nor out. And you know, that's a very dangerous situation. You can't be driving on the motorway between two lanes, can you? If you do, what happens? If somebody's standing on the door, in the doorway, they're neither here nor there. They're neither in the exam next door nor in here. You need to be fully focused. Enter perfectly in Islam. Hands up if that ayah has come across you for the first time in your life. So hopefully that will have an effect on all of us, inshallah. And then Allah Ta'ala is not just leaving it there, but telling us clearly and distinctly, follow not the footsteps of shaitan. Because is he your friend? No. Is he your playing, give me another word for playing. Clear enemy. Verse 209, then if you slide back after the clear signs, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this Quran and Islam have come to you. Now that you've opened up the Quran in front of you, how can you disobey? How can you slide back? How can you slip back, Allah Ta'ala say? They've come to you. Then know that Allah is almighty, all wise. Do they then wait for anything other than that? Allah should come to them in the shadows of the clouds and the angels. Then the case would be already judged. And to Allah return all matters for decision. So next time you think or plan to do anything out of line, just remember that it will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that He is the decider. If you're finding it hard to decide, then remember that your matter will go to Him and He is your judge then. Whether you are punished on the dunya, akhirah, 5 checkpoints that we can be punished in. In the dunya, in terms of illnesses, adversities, tensions, anxieties, misbehaving children. And then second time you tested is time of death, pangs of death. Third time in the grave. Fourth time on the day of judgment. And then the fifth checkpoint, I call it. It's on the full start, the bridge, going to Jannah, inshallah. Sisters, truly, none of us want to be tested. None of us want to be tried. But all matters return to Allah for decision. So let's change our matters, whatever they were before. Let's do tawbah. And let's change these matters into matters that we feel we are trying our best at. Our Allah will be pleased with us for these matters. Follow? Now, if this matter, you know that this matter, of sitting in this class with your burgundy beautiful scarves, mashallah. Burgundy beautiful scarves. Gorgeous, mashallah. You look lovely. And sisters online, if you know that sitting in this class is going to benefit you, are you scared that this matter will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you feel about this matter going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That the angels are recording you been sitting here for the last nearly 90 minutes. You feel happy or sad? Alhamdulillah. So this is how your matters should be. They should be so good and pure and clean that you're not feeling uncomfortable that they're going to go back to Allah. And if there is something like that, then let's do repentance. Continue with verse 211. Ask the children of Israel how many clear ayah, how many signs they had, we gave them. How many signs we gave them, and whoever changes Allah's favour after it had come to him, i.e. that is, renounces the religion of Islam and accepts kufr, then surely Allah is severe in punishment. Beautified is the life of this world for those who disbelieve, and they mock at those who believe. Do we find this happens in society today? Beautified is the life of this world for those who disbelieve, and they mock at those who believe. Do we find we are being mocked at? You're wearing a scarf, even by our own flesh and blood sometimes. Just like it's the sunnah of the Prophet, isn't it? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In light of seerah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mocked at by his own flesh and blood. They even pushed him out of his own hometown. Did they not? His own tribe, his own blood. And the same happens to a lot of us in society today. Oh, look at her, goody two-shoes, she's wearing the scarf. And she's decided she's not coming to the minbi of my daughter. Oh, look at her, are we not attacked? Are we mocked? Answer, please. They mock at those who believe. And that is sad because they are meant to be believers, just like any of us here today. Beautified is their life. You see, for them, that temporary enjoyment of a mindi or something illegal at a wedding, a celebration, a birthday party, that you say, I don't do birthdays, they feel it difficult. They find it hard to digest. Beautified, the shaitan has made it look good to them. Beautified is the life of this world for those who disbelieve here. And yet this is not the disbelievers as such all the time, but anyone who doesn't abide by the laws of Islam. Because Lord Allah Ta'ala is saying, accept kufr. After having known, we gave them these favours, but they accepted it. Beautified is the life of this world for those who disbelieve, and they mock at those who believe. But those who obey Allah's orders and keep away from that, keep away from what He has forbidden, will be above them on the day of resurrection. And Allah gives what? Subhanallah. Allah gives to whom He wills without limit, of His favours, honours on the day of resurrection. Subhanallah. Sisters, we would all like to strive for that, wouldn't we? So what do we need to do? Abide, obey Allah's orders. We have another O-A. O-A-O here. Obey Allah's orders. Mankind were one community, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets with glad tidings and warnings. And with them He sent down the scripture in truth to judge between people in matters in which they differed. And only those to whom scripture was given differed concerning it. After clear proofs had come unto them through hatred one to another, then Allah by His leave guided those who believed to the truth and of that in which they differed. And Allah guides whom He wills to the straight path. Or think you that you will enter paradise? Subhanallah. Food for thought for all of us. Allah Ta'ala is making us think. Rhetorical question. Or think you that you will enter paradise without such trials as came to those who passed away before you? They were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments. Another word for ailments? Sorry? Illnesses. Good. Disease or illnesses. And ailments, and was so shaken that even the messenger and those who believed along with him said, when will come the help of Allah? Yes, certainly the help of Allah is near. So never give up, sisters. If you're in trouble, just remember, Allah inna nasrullahi qareeb. They asked you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they should spend. Say, whatever spend of good must be. Say, whatever you spend of good must be for parents. How many times do we like to spend on our parents? We as a nation, as people of today, 2017, who do we like to spend on? Kids. Exactly. Kids isn't a problem. Parents becomes a problem. True, isn't it? You said kids, there's something before kids even. We like to spend on ourselves. But look at who Allah is telling us to spend on. Then He asked you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they should spend. Say, whatever you spend of good must be for parents and kindred and orphans and masakeen and the wayfarer. And whatever you do of good deeds, truly Allah knows it well. Jihad, holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for you, though you dislike it. And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, but you do not know. They ask you concerning fighting in the sacred months. These are the four sacred months, namely the 1st, the 7th, the 11th, and the 12th. What are they called? Muharram, Rajab, 11th is Dhul-Qiddah and Dhul-Hijjah. The four sacred months of the Islamic calendar. Say, fighting in it is a great transgression. But a greater transgression with Allah to prevent mankind from following the way of Allah. To disbelieve in Him, to prevent to get access to Masjid al-Haram at Makkah, and to drive out its inhabitants. And al-fitna is worse than killing. And they will never cease fighting you until they turn you back from your religion. Maybe you can highlight or underline this They will never cease fighting you until they turn you back from your religion. So the choice is yours. Do you want to turn back from your religion or do you want to stick to your religion? If they can, that's their aim. They will turn you back from your religion if they can. And whosoever of you turns back from his religion and dies as a disbeliever, then his deeds will be, can you highlight that little bit? Whoever turns back from his religion and dies as a disbeliever, then his deeds will be lost in this life. And in the hereafter, they will be the dwellers of the fire. Sisters, the only word that comes to mind for this is in business. What happens when a businessman, loaded and rich, striving, doing really well, goes kaput? What happens? What's the word? Bankrupt. This describes bankruptcy on the day of judgment. They will abide in it forever, in the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that his deeds will be lost in this life and in the hereafter, and they will be the dwellers of the fire. They will abide in it forever. Verily, those who have believed and those who have emigrated for Allah's religion and have striven hard in the way of Allah, all these hope for Allah's mercy, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Sisters, the road to Jannah is a climb. It's a struggle, but you need to strive. Need to strive, no pain, no gain. We need to work hard in the dunya as we need to work hard for the akhirah. It's true, isn't it? If you want any degree, you have to work hard, solid. If you want good grades at school, you have to revise hard. And in the same way, if you want to gain Jannah, you have to climb. Keep striving, keep climbing, don't let go. Another question now asked to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who's asking this question? The Sahaba. Excellent. Good, mashallah. You both get a prize for that. They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, concerning alcoholic drink and gambling. Say, in them is a great sin and some benefits for men. But the sin of them is greater than their benefit. And they ask you what they ought to spend. Say, that which is beyond your needs. Thus Allah makes clear to you his laws in order that you may give thought. Clear as crystal. But when we don't want to understand them, we constantly ask, is this allowed? Is that allowed? Into this worldly life and in the hereafter. And they ask you concerning orphans. Say, the best thing is to work honestly in their property. And if you mix your affairs with theirs, then they are your brothers. And Allah knows him who means mischief from him who means good. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been telling us all along, even in today's lesson, that he's all aware. He's all aware. So when you mean good, he knows it. And if you mean mischief, he knows it. And if Allah had wished, he could have put you into difficulties. Truly Allah is almighty, all wise. 2:21. And do not marry al-mushrikat till they believe, worship Allah alone. And indeed, a slave woman who believes is better than a free idolatress, even though she pleases you. And give not your daughters in marriage to the mushrikeen till they believe in Allah alone. And verily, a believing slave is better than a free mushrik, even though he pleases you. Those mushrikeen invite you to the fire, but Allah invites you to paradise and forgiveness by his leave, and makes his ayah clear to mankind that they may remember. They ask you concerning menstruation. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hidden away from any topic so far? No. They ask you concerning menstruation. Say, that is an other. A harmful thing for a husband to have sexual intercourse with his wife while she is having her menses. This ayah was revealed because it was dealing with the concerns of the Jews. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ has come across the Jews in Medina
for the first time.
And they had two extremes. The Jews thought they were very pious, very righteous people, full of taqwa. And their laws were really rigid, whilst the other religion at the time was which one? Which other divine religion was there? Christianity. And they were so flexible that they would let everything go by. Oh, this is okay, that's fine, no problem, no problem. Happy, happy, happy. The Christians said it was fine to have sex during periods with the wives. Whereas the Jews said it was not even fine to share the same bed. Subhanallah. They wouldn't even eat out the same utensil if a wife was in a period. So she was tabooed in that sense, whilst the Christian wife was injured or harmed when she was in pain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with this like this. Say, this is another a harmful thing for a husband to have sexual intercourse with his wife while she is having her menses. Therefore, keep away from women during menses and go not unto them until they are purified from menses and have taken a bath. And when they have purified themselves, then go in unto them as Allah has ordained for you. Go in unto them in any manner, as long as it is in their vagina. So this was putting a stop to any illegal ways of having marital relationships with the wife. Truly Allah loves those who turn unto Him in repentance and loves those who purify themselves by taking a bath and cleaning and washing thoroughly their private parts, bodies for their prayers. Your wives are a tilth for you, so go to your tilth when or how you will, and send good deeds or ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon you pious offspring. Ameen. For your own selves beforehand. And fear Allah and know that you are to meet Him in the hereafter. For homework, I'd like you to look up from Sahih Bukhari, the dua the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us before having marital relationships. All of you should know the dua, have it at hand. The dua taught to us, the Masnoon dua by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And fear Allah, know that you are to meet Him, and give good tidings to the believers. And make not Allah's name an excuse in your oaths against your doing good and acting piously and making peace among mankind. And Allah is all hearer, all knower. Do not swear much. And if you have sworn against doing something good, then give an expiation for the oath and do good. Subhanallah. Verse 225. Allah will not call you to account. Allah will not call you to account for that which is unintentional in your oaths, but He will call you to account for that which your hearts have earned, and Allah is oft forgiving, most forbearing. Those who take an oath not to have sexual relation with their wives must wait for 4 months. Those who take an oath not to have sexual relation with their wives must wait for 4 months, but if they return, change their idea in this period, verily Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. And if they decide upon divorce, then Allah is all hearer, all knower. Another tabooed subject now in our society especially is divorce. And divorced women shall wait as regards their marriage for 3 menstrual periods. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dealing with it just as He's dealing with anything else. This is an exit, it's an allowance. It's not entirely liked, but it's definitely allowed. It's one thing that is halal, but not recommended. Follow? It's this allowance. And divorced women shall wait as regards their marriage for 3 menstrual periods. And it is not lawful for them to conceal what Allah has created in their wombs. So what are they not meant to hide? Pregnancy. If they believe in Allah and the last day, and their husbands have the better right to take them back in that period if they wish for reconciliation, and they women have rights over their husbands as regards living expenses, similarly to those of their husbands over them as regards obedience and respect. Hands up if you knew that we should be obedient and respectful to our husbands. Alhamdulillah. So, similar over them as regards obedience and respect to what is responsible. For men have a degree of responsibility over them. And Allah is almighty, all wise. The divorce is twice after that. Either you retain her on reasonable terms or release her with kindness. And it is not lawful for you to take back from your wives. So this speech is going towards the men. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing this to the men. It's not lawful for you to take back from your wives any of your mahar, that is the bridal money, which we discussed in great detail before, but not to take back any gift money that you've given them. Given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage, which you have given them, except when both parties fear that they would be unable to keep the limits ordained by Allah. That is to deal with each other on a fair basis. Then if you fear that they would not be able to keep the limits ordained by Allah, then there is no sin on either of them if she gives it back, the mahar, or a part of it, for her divorce. These are the limits ordained by Allah, so do not transgress them. And whoever transgresses the limits ordained by Allah, then such are the wrongdoers. And if he has divorced her the third time, then she is not lawful unto him thereafter, until she has married another husband. Again, we discussed this in detail. Just to marry somebody, to go back to be married with the first husband, is it allowed in Islam? Is it allowed in Islam? No. Then, if the other husband divorces her, it is no sin on both of them that they reunite, provided they feel that they can keep the limits ordained by Allah. These are the limits of Allah, which He makes plain for the people who have knowledge. And when you have divorced women, and they have fulfilled the term of their prescribed period, either take them back on reasonable basis, or set them free on reasonable basis, but do not take them back to hurt them. Sadly, does this happen in society? I'm afraid to say it does. And yet it's clear in the Quran. It says, don't take them back to hurt them. And whoever does that, then he has wronged himself. And treat not the verses of Allah as a jest. What's a jest? As a joke. But remember Allah's favours on you, and that which He has sent down to you of the book and al-hikmah of sunnah, whereby He instructs you in fear Allah, and know that Allah is all aware of everything. And when you have divorced women and they have fulfilled the term of their prescribed period, do not prevent them from marrying their former husbands, if they mutually agree on reasonable basis. This instruction is an admonition for him among you who believes in Allah and the last day. This is more virtuous and purer for you, Allah knows and you know not. Now some more laws on children if this has happened. The mothers shall give suck to their children for 2 whole years. That is for those parents who desire to complete the term of suckling. What's suckling? Breastfeeding. Good. But the father of the child shall bear the cost of the mother's food and clothing on a reasonable basis. No person shall have a burden laid on him greater than he can bear. No mother shall be treated unfairly on account of a child, nor father on account of his child. And on the father's heir it's incumbent the like of that which was incumbent on the father. If they both decide on weaning by mutual consent and after due consultation, there is no sin on them. And if you decide on a foster suckling mother for your children, there is no sin on you, provided you pay the mother what you agreed to give her on a reasonable basis. And fear Allah and know that Allah is all seer of what you do. And those of you who die and leave wives behind them, They, the wife, shall wait as regards their marriage for 4 months and 10 days. Then when they have fulfilled their term, what's this term called? Iddah. There is no sin on you if they wise dispose of themselves in a just and honourable manner. What does that mean? That they can remarry. Okay, no sin. They can marry. And Allah is well acquainted with what you do. And there's no sin on you if you make a hint of betrothal or conceal it in yourself. Allah knows that you will remember them. Allah knows that you will remember them, but do not make a promise of contract with them in secret, except that you speak an honourable saying according to the Islamic law. And do not consummate the marriage until the term prescribed is fulfilled. And know that Allah knows what is in your minds. So fear Him and know that Allah is oft forgiving, most forbearing. Again and again, fear Allah, fear Allah. Why? Because the one who will fear Allah will be the one who will abide by these laws. There is no sin on you if you divorce women while yet you have not touched, you've not touched them. That means that you've not had marital relationships with them. You've not had sexual relationship with them while you have not touched them, nor appointed unto them their mahar, bridal money, given to the husband, to his wife at the time of marriage, but bestow on them a suitable gift, the rich according to his means and the poor according to his means. A gift of reasonable amount is a duty on the doers of good. SubhanAllah. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it affordable for all, rich and poor alike. And if you divorce them before you have touched, had a sexual relationship with them, you have a sexual relationship with them, and you have appointed unto them the mahar, then pay half of that mahar unless they, the woman, agree to forego it, or he, the husband, in whose hands is the marriage tie, agrees to forego it, and give her full appointed mahar. If he wants to give it full, then fine. If she wants to say, it doesn't matter, give me only a bit, or leave it, fine. So mutual consent again. And to forego and give her the full mahar is nearer to taqwa. Piety. And do not forget liberality between yourselves. Truly, Allah is all seer of what you do. Allahu Akbar. Covered in a short stretch, in a quick span, some heavy topics. Menstruation, divorce, iddah. And now, suddenly, there's a drop scene. It's change. And I'm going to read this verse, and then I'd like to ask you, why do you think this is placed here? Verse 238, guard strictly 5 obligatory salawat, the prayers, especially the middle salah, the best prayer, asr. And stand before Allah with obedience, and do not speak to others during the salah. And do not speak to others during the salah. Are we fully focused in our salah will be a question to think about. Am I constantly planning and talking to others in my salah, or am I talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do not speak to others during salah. Sisters, why do you think this has come here, this verse? Anyone? Because what were we discussing just before this? Divorce. And what happens in divorce matters? Big discussions, excellent. Sister Saika takes the reward, mashallah. Well done. Sisters, big discussions, disputes, arguments, going on for hours and hours and hours, and Allah Ta'ala is reminding us, look, get up, go and do salah. Nasta'inu bi sabri wa salah, we heard that before. Ask for help in salah. Be patient. Don't slag the other person off. Calm down. It's happened. Don't miss your salah. So Allah Ta'ala is breaking up that negativity. SubhanAllah. And if you fear an enemy performs salah, so don't forget your salah. People who sit amongst us today and say we'll do salah later. Look at this, how Allah Ta'ala is telling us. Even in these situations, don't forget salah. Look at verse 239. And if you fear an enemy, perform salah. Subhanallah. Time of war. Is an enemy going to come and attack? Perform salah. Does Allah Ta'ala say it doesn't matter? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to let us off our prayer, our salah, 5 obligatory prayers for anything, which would be the most likely situation? It would be a time of war, wouldn't it? But even if time of war is not exempt, then who are we to say, oh, it doesn't matter, he went to bed late because he was revising. Doesn't matter, he's got an exam today. But my husband worked really late, so he can't get up for Fajr. Is there any rule that will allow us to say these things? There isn't. And if you fear an enemy, perform salah on foot or riding. And when you are in safety, offer the salah in the manner he has taught you, which you knew not. And those of you who die and leave behind wives should bequeath for their wives a year's maintenance and residence without turning them out. But if their wives leave, there is no sin on you for that which they do of themselves. Provided it is honourable, i.e. a lawful marriage. And Allah is almighty, all-wise. And for divorced women, maintenance should be provided on a reasonable scale. This is a duty on the pious, muttaqeen. Thus Allah makes clear His ayah laws to you in order that you may understand. Did you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not think of those who went forth from their homes in thousands fearing death? Allah said to them, die. And then He restored them to life. Truly Allah is full of bounty to mankind, but most men thank not. And fight in the way of Allah and know that Allah is all hearer, all knower. Who is he that will lend to Allah a goodly loan so that he may multiply it to him many times? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that if you spend in His way, He's not just going to give you one for one, but He will multiply it many, many times over. Subhanallah. Who is he that will lend to Allah a goodly loan, so that He may multiply it to him many times? And it is Allah that decreases or increases your provisions, and unto Him you shall return. Have you not thought about the group of the children of Israel after Moses, when they said to a prophet of theirs, appoint for us a king and we will fight in Allah's way? He said, would you then refrain from fighting if fighting was prescribed for you? They said, why should we not fight in Allah's way while we have been driven out of our homes and our children? Families have been taken as captives. But when fighting was actually ordered, Subhanallah. But when fighting was ordered for them, they turned away, all except a few of them. And Allah is all aware of the wrongdoers. And their prophet Samuel said to them, indeed, Allah has appointed Saul, Saul, as a king over you. They said, how can he be a king over us? So first they said, ask for something, then they refuse it, then they don't want to accept it. Do you find this is a story of the Muslims of today? Sadly, it is. So first they've asked for a king, now they have this king, and they said, how can he be a king over us when we are fitter than him for the kingdom? And he has not been given enough wealth. Thalut was poorer in material wealth, and he was weaker in stature. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected him. Sisters, never think that you can't do it. If you're selected, you've been chosen, make the most of it. Grip the opportunity and go for it. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, look at this. He said, verily Allah has chosen him above you and has increased him abundantly in knowledge and stature. And Allah grants His kingdom to whom He wills. And Allah is all sufficient for His creatures' needs, all knower. And their prophet Samuel said to them, verily the sign of His kingdom is that there shall come to you a tabut, a wooden box, wherein is sakina, peace and reassurance from your Lord, and a remnant of that which Moses and Harun left behind, carried by the angels. Verily, in this is a sign for you, if you are indeed believers. I'd like you to underline thabut and box and circle or underline the b, just the b, in a different pen. So you'll remember that thabut is the wooden box, inshallah. Thalut, you can do as a leader, put l, highlight the l's. Thalut was a leader, and we will see thabut, which is false gods. So three words which sound the same root but with different letters in between. Don't want you to get mixed up. Thabut is the wooden box. Verily, in this is a sign for you if you are indeed believers. Then when Thalut set out with the army, he said, verily, Allah will try you by a river. So whoever drinks thereof, he is not of me, and whoever tastes it not, he is of me, except him who takes in the hollow of his hand. Yet they drank thereof, all except a few of them. So when he had crossed it, the river, he and those who believed with him, they said, we have no power this day against Jalut. Do we find this with us today? We've eaten too much at iftar, so we can't be bothered to get up from Maghrib. SubhanAllah, that was not the sunnah of the Prophet. That's not what we learn from the surah, do we? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would break his fast with date and water. Would he then be tired after eating pakoras for Salah and Maghrib? Would he? No, astaghfirullah. Sisters, think about it this Ramadan. Cucumber was another favourite of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quenches thirst, hydrates, and wonderfully refreshing. Sisters, we will look at the sunnah of the Prophet for iftar as well, inshallah. But think about it. This is what we do, like this lot. They're saying, now, because they've had too much water, they're saying, yet they drank thereof all, except a few of them. So when he had crossed it, he and those who believed with him, they said, we have no power this day against Jalut, the enemy. Against Jalut and his Goliath and his hosts. But those who knew with certainty that they were going to meet Allah said, how often a small group overcame a mighty host by Allah's leave, and Allah is with the patient, subhanAllah. And when they advanced to meet Goliath and his forces, they invoked, our Lord, pour forth on us patience and set firm our feet and make us victorious over the disbelieving people. Another beautiful dua. Can you all highlight please in your notes, inshallah. So they routed them by Allah's leave, and Daud killed Jalut, and Allah gave him, Daud, David, the kingdom after the death of Saul and Samuel, and al-hikmah, prophethood, and taught him of that which he willed. And if Allah did not check one set of people by means of another, the earth would indeed be full of what? Mischief. For indeed will be full of mischief. But Allah is full of bounty to the Alameen. But Allah is full of bounty to the Alameen. These are the verses of Allah. We recite them to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In truth and surely, you are one of the messengers. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. These are the verses of Allah. We recite them to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In truth, and surely, you are one of the messengers. Alhamdulillah. Narrated by Jabir bin Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet ﷺ said, I have been given five things which were not given to anyone else before me. I would like you to continue and find that hadith and write it up for homework, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. That brings us to the end of Juz 2 and end of today's session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all immensely for being such an excellent listening class, mashallah, and sisters online too. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.